I read a friendship textbook. This guy, Dr. Greif. Really great. It's called The Buddy System. The detail that made the show is that a lot of male relationships typically are shoulder to shoulder. Like, we're next to each other, there's another activity. Female friendships typically coffee, wine, someplace dark, look at each other. And they, for them, the activity is each other. And for us, the activity is literally anything else.
It's outside of us.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, I think Nick, who I've been friends with since fourth grade, like, a lot of the conversation is Severance or the Knicks. And that kind of, like, gets us started. It just, like, takes a little while to get that car going into gear to get into sixth gear. Where, like, my sister, she's like, I don't want to do stand-up. I want to do improv because it's social, because it's teamwork. And then she was like, last week, she's like, yeah, I just went on vacation with these six girls. I was like, you know six girls?
And she probably met, like, four of them 2 weeks ago.
Yes!
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
But first, a word from our sponsors.
Welcome to the Man Whore Podcast.
Shout out to the drag queens, shout out to the drag king, shout out to the drag your man across the floor because it's fun. Shout out to your boss you dragged because he said some dumb shit. Folks, I got to get through this quick because Papa's got therapy in a minute. This is Billy Presida and you are listening to the Therapized Man Whore Podcast. But what's up, everybody? Welcome to the pod that we've been doing about to be 9 years every Wednesday. I'm in your feed with a possibly too long intro. This week on the show, why am I negging myself? All it takes is one email every 7 months complaining that my monologues are too long for me to get real fucking self-conscious. This week on the show, I've got on fellow stand-up comedian and possibly decent human male, Gabe Malika. He's got a one-man show out about how to make friends as a dude. It's called Solo. Love this conversation. Very excited to share it with y'all in just a little bit. But first, the Naked Comedy Show tickets are on sale. There's a link at the top of your show notes, folks. If you want to come join us for some, yes, truly, naked stand-up comedy on April 21st at the Hacienda in Bushwick. Click that linky link. We've got an 8 o'clock and a 10 o'clock show. Killer lineups. Some of them are past guests of the pod. Feeling pretty humiliated to look any of the comedians on that show in the eye, though, because over the weekend, you know, I shot them all an email to say, hey, tickets are on sale, you know, no pressure to promote, but here's a link if you want it. Send them, you know, I hit paste for the link and then I said, you know, excited to see y'all soon. But before I sent that email, I was researching old random acts of Muff Dive success stories on Reddit that have been written about me for like a different thing I might be working on. And I forgot which link was copied at the time. So when I just hit paste and then was like, hey, can't wait to have a great show, send. I got an email like 3 minutes later from one of the comics, Dwayne Cullen. He goes, yeah, you know, I think this might be the wrong link. And that's probably because the URL said, you know, reddit.com/randomactsofmuffdive with the title F for M NYC success fat pussy femdom seeking hungry. Oh no. Oh, I was just like, oh God, Carmen Legala saw that. Oh shit. I mean, Drex can see that cause he's been a filthy hoe like me, but I was just like, oh no. They just saw, and the success story, it's a deleted success story. So when you click the link, there's actually no story there. It just has the title and it has all the comments, but it says, you know, post has been deleted for the body. So all they see is fat pussy femdom seeking hungry boys with stamina. Oh God. Oh, I feel sick. They click that link, they scroll, they'll see someone made a comment like, somebody give Billy a gold medal. USA, USA, USA. Oh, no. Oh, anyways, link to that success story in the show notes. because we are recruiting for a return of the oral sex auditions with a fun twist. But yeah, that was, anyways, the link you should be clicking on if you're in the general New York area is the ticket link for the Naked Comedy Show, which will not be about pussy eating at all, I swear. So this week's episode is about, you know, friendship, making friends, being a man, a grown-ass man, attempting to make friends. And I've been trying. I'm not swiping on the apps. I'm not looking to get laid right now. I've got some people in my life, and I got the parties, and that's cool. But I'm primarily looking to, like, hang out in comedy again, make buddies in the scene again, maybe get into like a group chat. That would be, I hear group chats are like all the rage. And there's a past guest of the pod, I'm not going to say who, but he's a comic. And I thought we clicked during the recording. And like a couple weeks ago, he told me, he said, hey, come through to my show on Monday. It's at this place at this time. I might be able to throw you up for a guesty spot. I'm like, cool, man. Cool. I'll see you there. I'll go support. I go to the show. I get there as it's going. And he says, oh, I didn't realize you were coming. We're a little packed. I don't think I'm going to be able to get you up. I'm like, that's fine. I'm coming to hang out. I want to be friends. And one way you can be a friend is show up to their show and just hang. So I go, I hang, I'm friendly, cool. And then he explicitly invites me. He tells me there, he says, hey, this Saturday though, I'm doing a couple shows in Brooklyn. My second show is at Secret Pour. Let's hang out there. And then afterwards, I was going to go chill at this thing at Fiction Bar. I'm like, great, we'll do the hang. I remember the hang in comedy from the pre-course. So yeah, great, awesome. I got an explicit invite. It's what I've always wanted. So cool. On Saturday, I shoot him a message. They're like, hey, man, what time's that show at Secret Porter tonight? He's like, 7:30. Cool. As 7:30 is approaching, because I live nearby the place, so I'm not going to be right on time. I'm not a nerd. I'm like getting dressed. I just got out the shower. We're DMing about some other thing. I'm like, hey, what does drippy even mean? I make reference to like, I'm putting my boots on, you know, I'm putting them on to leave, to go to the show you invited me to that earlier today. I asked you what time it was at again, get to the space. He's not there. Okay. Show's been going on for like 20, 30 minutes. So hey, maybe I missed him. Maybe that's my bad. Maybe I'm the asshole. I'm sitting around waiting. He doesn't show up. I go check his Instagram story. He's on like some rooftop at like a party on someone's roof with a DJ. I look over, I see the lineup. He's not even on the lineup. So I'm like, I assume a message like, hey man, like, are you coming through? Are you not on the show? Like, what's going on? He says, oh yeah, I bailed. Oh, would have been nice if someone told me. I even took a shower to do this hangout thing. He's like, oh yeah, that's my bad, dog. My bad. I didn't know you were going to come through again twice in 1 week. You're going to invite me to something and then forget that I'm coming when I tell you I'm coming and show up. What? He's like, oh yeah. And it's like, I even told the host, I was like, yeah, I'm feeling sick. I'm not sure I should come out. I'm like, you're not sick. You're at a party right now. It's on your story twice. Is there like a friendship equivalent of a fuckboy? Cause that is like a rookie cheater move. He seemed like confused that I was at all annoyed. I mean, I didn't like yell at the guy. I was just like, well, I mean, you told me to be. But all that means to me is I'm just going to reset my expectations for the man. I don't have to hate the guy. I don't have to not like him. I don't have to not hang out with him. You're going to hear in my conversation with Gabe soon, you know, the idea of like tiered friendships. Like not every friend has to be your ride or die and emotionally available and fun and cash friend all at once. Like you can have different people for different things as I'm learning. So it's like, okay, I'd still like to be friends with this guy. Just maybe I won't hinge my Saturday night plans on him saying we made plans together. I don't need to hold a grudge over that. That's never done me well. Meanwhile, last night I was out with some comics and then like we ran into this other comic. He was out with a couple of his comedy friends and he just like really low key sort of calls me out in front of his buddies. Like, I haven't liked this dude since I was like 19 because of blank. And I'm like, that's cool because I haven't liked you since you were 19 because you were annoying in 19. And I'm playing the Pac-Man machine at the comic strip and you kept fucking with my joystick for no reason. And in like 3 minutes, we squashed a 10-year-old beef. Isn't that nice? Before I start auditioning for new male friendships and get to this week's guest, Gabe Malika, going to read you a couple comments from the Champagne Room, our Discord server. Free to join. If you want to link up with like-minded listeners, connect with other sex-positive individuals from around the country, from around the globe. From the episode discussion channel, Mr. Nathan makes the briefest comment. Episode 481, he retitles it, in which Billy practices therapy without a license. Look, I'm just trying to help a fellow whore boy, our fellow Drex. I'm just trying to help him out, just trying to help him see through some of the fuckboyness that he and I, I'm sure, have both experienced from time to time. Come on now. Just trying to be there for a boy, trying to audition to be a friend. I want a group chat of like male friends who are all former fuckboys, or maybe not former, but more ethical fuckboys. I don't know. Sometimes practicing empathy and connection sounds like therapy. Sometimes pushing and challenging each other sounds like therapy. I just call it 4 years of boarding school. I hide. That's what happens when you throw me in seminar groups every fucking week. Elizabeth writes in about last week's episode with Money Shot director Suzanne Hillinger. This was a thoughtful one. I thought I would share it with everybody. She writes, I really enjoyed this episode, number 482, as well as the recent one with the actress from the movie, which was episode 480 with Siri Dahl. She had a little segment in that episode. From my own life, the cliche that a little knowledge can be dangerous is very accurate. Armed with a degree in sociology and a concentration in women's studies, they didn't call it gender studies back then, plus a few graduate courses, I was a very strident and closed-minded feminist. One of my favorite authors, Margaret Atwood, was a participant in the movie Not a Love Story. The film had a seminal influence on me and my view. Using the word seminal, Miss Women's Studies major. Did anyone else see the movie PCU? Only me? Okay, that's fine. I'm not going to get into the word seminal, but you know. The film had a seminal influence on me and my views about pornography and sex work. I was very, very anti-both for a few decades because of the negative portrayals of sex work in the movie. My views have progressed rapidly and fully over the last 5 years. However, I have lingering distaste of pornography in general and do not watch it except for annual Hump Film Festival viewings. The Hump Film Festival, that's Dan Savage's amateur porn film festival. I'll put a link in the show notes. Those were sort of lost decades for me. I had a lot of shame and conflicted emotion about even dirty talk. I never would have used the words pussy, cock, cunt, or whore. Happily, they are all in my vocabulary in Spank Bank now, though. Viewing the world through a sex-positive lens has been a game-changer for me. Man Whore Podcast, you had great, great questions for her. I haven't seen Money Shot yet, but look forward to it soon. And yeah, Elizabeth, I hope you will check out Money Shot, the Pornhub story on Netflix, very soon. I hope you all will. And a great place to come share your thoughts about the flick is in the Champagne Room. We have an entire channel just for talking about movies and TV. It's called Pictures in Motion. Join us in the Champagne Room at manwhorepod.com/discord or click the link. You know fucking where to click it. You dirty whores. One dirty whore might be the recipient of this week's Fan Whore Appreciation Moment. Rubicon 1, thank you for supporting the Man Whore Podcast on Patreon. I still don't seem to really understand what the word Rubicon means. I really only hear it in political podcasts, but you know, it's a word and you are apparently it. Thanks for supporting the pod and confusing me for half a moment. Hope to catch you at Hot Movie Night this Thursday, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. We're going to be watching Private Teacher, starring the illustrious Kay Parker and as sexy but slightly more petite Honey Wilder. And you can become a member today at patreon.com/manwhorepodcast. You know where to click it. And now for this week's guest, Gabe Malika. He's got a one-man show out. I think it's still out on Off-Broadway at the Soho Playhouse for another week or so before he starts touring it around the country. It's called Solo, a show about friendship. And we're going to get into it. This is me with Gabe Malika.
The whole conceit is like the no friends thing. And it's true and it's not, right? Like, I have people I text, but the show kind of argues Like, I'm like, this is a show about how I don't have any friends. And then people kind of like take a step back, or some people giggle. Like, some people are like, what does that mean? And then I'm like, I have bros. Right. I just like don't know if I know anything about them. And that kind of like starts this whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm still working on the bros. I don't have guy friends, really. I'm working on it.
Okay.
Like, if I say someone's a close friend, like, mm-hmm. that's someone I'm going to cry in front of you or on the phone. But I'm like, we say friends so loosely, and I stop myself. I'll be like, oh, my friend, like, someone's on TV. Oh, that's my friend. Oh, well, you know, I know so-and-so.
Yes. We've done shows together.
Yes. I know some stuff about, I've had conversations. I have, you know, like, he knows my face. If he saw me, he'd be like, oh, but like, not my friend, but we were friendly before he was on SNL.
Yes.
You know, it was like, it's a weird word for me.
Totally. It's very loaded. And I think I can't remember if it was Mindy Kaling in Mindy Kaling's book, where she's like, best friend is a tier of person. Like, it's not one person. It's not like a marriage.
Right.
It's like this thing that's like very loose. And I feel that way about a couple people, but even in the show, like, I'm like, I have this guy, Nick, and he's my oldest bro is how I describe him. And for me, like, the moment the show started to make sense was when I started talking about Nick's sister had a kid, and my mom was like, how does Nick feel about being an uncle? And I was like, I have no idea, right? Like, this idea of, like,
Nick feels.
Exactly. That's literally a line in the show where I'm like, I know how he feels about Adam Sandler movies, but I don't know how he feels about being an uncle. And it got me thinking about more and more about this idea of, like, I have these people in my life that, like, I kind of text every day. We were just texting about Severance. Okay. He finally saw it. And I was like, great, we can talk about this. But there's like this, I don't know if it's a barrier or it's just like, we pretend it's not there. We pretend the serious stuff, for the most part, 98% of the time, is just like not even around.
Right.
And for a long time, that's good. And then sometimes things happen in your life and you want somebody to talk about them. Even like you were saying, like that minor like spiral you had.
Yeah.
Like, who am I going to text? I feel that way all the time. Did you watch the Jonah Hill documentary? The
one about his therapist? No, but it's on my list.
So there's some really good things in it. This guy Stutz wrote this book about like the way he kind of sees therapy. And at one point, Jonah Hill is like, I think it might have been in the trailer, I don't think I'm spoiling anything, where he's like, your therapist, you want to give advice and they just listen. And your friends, you want them to listen and all they do is give you advice. And it's like this weird reverse where it's like, because for me, sometimes I want somebody that's there to be like, to just like hear me out and like not provide a solution.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, like the bros in my life, like if I do bring up something serious, they're just immediately trying to fix it. And it's like, no, I don't need that from you. I just kind of need you to be like.
Such a male response.
Yeah.
How do I fix the thing? Whether it's a date or a bro or just like
someone
on the street. I'm like, oh, there's a problem. It involves emotions. Well, I can fix the thing that has nothing to do with your feelings.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And in the show, it's so funny. I talk about that exact thing where Nick's dad was a fireman. Ran into burning buildings, saved lives. He didn't run to the doorstep and think, is this sparking joy? You know, he just fixed the problem. Yeah, it's tricky, man, this friendship stuff. It really is. I'm lucky in a certain sense in that I grew up on Long Island. And so like I would have my comedy people that I would see. And then at the beginning of comedy, I wasn't booked on weekends, you know, like it was impossible to get booked. And so I would go home and see my high school friends. And so I kind of was living these like two lives a little bit. Where are you from? Where did you?
North Jersey, but I went to boarding school for 4 years in Connecticut.
Okay.
And I don't retain much from there. And then I came here for college and never really left.
I see.
But like I started doing stand-up in college.
Yeah.
So I know a lot of people. And
yes.
But it's like, then who is a friend, who's an acquaintance, who can I ask a favor of, which kind of favors?
Of course.
You know, some people it's like, you can ask me to help you move, but don't ask me to recommend you for this, right?
Yes, 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 yes,
so
yes, yes.
And I, my brain works a little differently. So it's like, it's sometimes really a struggle. And I almost have to like class, I need to tier things just so I know what's appropriate with each type of person.
Yeah.
You know, otherwise I might get too familiar too quickly. I had to learn in the podcast. I was like, oh, these are not all just like best friend auditions.
Oh, interesting. You know, interesting.
Like,
yeah.
Because sometimes we'll connect. It's not like Q&A. It's like, we're just going to, ideally, it's like we connect, we have a conversation.
Yeah.
And in the early years in my mid-20s, I had to be like, Billy, like you just had this great conversation with this porn star. You all really clicked, had an emotional moment. Jessica Drake really opened up to you. But also remember, you are not best friends now.
Yeah.
This ends when you leave the room.
Yes. Yes. Dude,
otherwise, you get inappropriate real quick.
Yes. There's boundaries.
You send text messages that like she gives she gives me my phone number. I'm like, wait, am I like actually allowed to text if I'm in town? Or just because if you say yes, I will. If you say no, it's okay.
What it strikes me about you, Billy, is you're somebody who like, you appear very interested in like learning constantly, I would say, from what I've just like kind of observed about like the podcast and like your life. You're like, oh, I'm learning boundaries. Like, isn't this cool? Like, I'm like checking in on myself and seeing how I'm doing.
Isn't it great to not hurt people by accident?
Yeah, yeah. You seem really keen on like getting better. It's so annoying. Look at you go.
Yeah. Well, I went to a weird boarding school where we like seminar all the time.
And where did you go?
You never heard of it. It's called Hyde. Okay. It was like an alternative character education boarding school.
Okay.
So like we would sometimes like any at any moment, a class, a sports practice, a meal could just break down. Like it could also all of a sudden stop and we're like in like a pseudo therapy situation.
Whoa. Okay.
It's like, oh, like Jamal, like you're not handing in your homework a lot. It's like, where's your attitude at? And then like the like half of math class is like what's going on with him.
Wow.
Yeah. So I don't know how to be chill until I'm like comfortable or yeah. I know where my role is.
Yeah. It's like you run by like Quakers or something, but it's very like, of course you're in group therapy. Your whole high school was group therapy.
Oh, I walked into group therapy. I walked in day one. I was like, I know how to do this.
Yes. Yes.
Y'all have been together for a year. Fucking act like it. Yeah. Hide. You have like 3 weeks to really get some cohesion. Then we've got to do growth and change because one of you is going to get kicked out soon.
That's,
you know,
that's kind of great. So I work at a high school that's from a break off of Bard College.
Okay.
And so Bard like has this liberal arts college reputation. It's like pretty hippy dippy trippy. There's like The Onion had a headline one time that was like Bard College rated best dinner party school. Okay. So like it's like so like we have restorative circles. Like some kid will write, you know, some hate crime or whatever on the wall. And then like, we have to have these restorative circles where you sit around and everybody places something in the middle of the circle. And so like, I know that in like a once a year kind of way, but the idea that you were living in a place for 4 years where at any moment, even in math,
dude,
the math teacher suddenly running a restorative circle is so funny to me.
Dude, sometimes they would be like, cause we had a thing called going out to work. You break rules. You like, change the sweats, you don't go to class, you don't go to sports, you do 5:30 a.m. workouts, blah blah blah, to think about your attitude, right? But every once in a while, after like the culture of campus was off, someone would just come into our classroom and be like, hey, there's a school meeting in 20 minutes, and then like the entire school would go to just whatever we had scheduled, we're going to a school meeting. And then like Duncan McCran would be like, yeah, the character's off, everyone go get changed, the whole school's out to work today. And then we'd all like go to the soccer field and like run and do push-ups and and then we'd have like a seminar and then we'd talk and then it was like, man, I thought we were gonna learn about the Cold War today, but instead
now was that like, so that appears two things to me. One is that like you're at the whims of these adults, that these adults can suddenly like change your schedule at any moment.
Yeah.
Is that, was like that kind of structure, because like now that would piss me off and be like, I'm gonna have to, you're gonna put me in a white
outfit. What else was I gonna do?
Sure, you're like, 15. Yeah, that feels sort of helpless.
We didn't have cell phones on campus. We didn't even have Wi-Fi in our, like, we didn't have internet in your dorm room. So it's like you were just there to do school, do sports, you know, work on your attitude, maybe improve your family situation.
Yeah, was it a big school?
Nah, it was like always about like 200 kids. I don't know the size now, but it's probably about the same.
Yeah.
Like my graduating class was like 50 kids.
Yeah, holy cow. I'm truly fascinated by that, because I went, now that I work in a city school, like there's no football team, there's no cheerleaders. Yeah. Like it's very much like the school, ideally demographic wise, is supposed to look like Queens.
Yeah.
And the kids will sometimes ask me, they're like, oh, you're from Long Island. Like, what was your high school like? I was like, football, cheerleaders, lacrosse, marching band, lacrosse.
A lot of guys with my face.
Irish, WASPs. Yeah. We're Irish Catholics. Waspy English people. We were Italian, and it felt like we were Italian Democrats, and it felt like we were like outliers.
I should also probably just real briefly, Italians, but I'm here right now with a Gabe Malika. I did not realize Malika was an Italian last name.
Yes,
but I'll throw that out there as a preceded to Malika.
It's right. So you know what it means. It's, you have a piece of Italian bread, and it's the white squishy part, not the crust. Mm-hmm. That's the Malika.
Yeah,
we say Malika, but it's
Malika. Okay, well, mine would be Progida because it's an island in Italy.
Oh, beautiful.
And it's Isla di Progida, but no Progida. Is from Progida.
I love a small town in Europe. I one time was in, we were in Ireland, and a small town, and the ATM had broken.
Yeah.
And everywhere you went, people were like, "Do you hear the ATM's down?" I'm like, "I'm from New York."
The ATM.
Yes, the ATM. It's a country that loves newspapers and tea, and you're like, "Oh, like this is so quaint."
Yeah.
Because, like, in order to make news in New York, it needs to be, like, 9/11. You know, like, Taylor Swift plays the Garden. You walk down the street, you say, hey, you know Taylor Swift's playing the Garden? No. Yeah. Nobody cares. You know, it's too big.
But then as a nice Italian boy on Long Island, surrounded by the broskies, like, so what was your, like, were, like, did you have friends as a kid? Because, I come from a place, no friends. I did not have friends really till college. What was your friendship situation as a guy, as a boy?
Yeah.
Growing up.
So, you're invited to the show anytime, because you know what's so funny? I've been going on dates, and I'll be talking to a young woman, and we'll be having a conversation, and they'll be like, well, what about your family? I'll talk about my dad, and I'll be like, actually, that's in the show. And then we'll be like, well, this, it's like, oh, that's also in the show. It's like, you should just see the show. It's 80 minutes. Yeah. It's my whole life. So this is a part in the show where I'm like, I had sports guys that I would hang out with, bros, idiots. And then I had, like, my musical theater friends. And so I described them as, like, my musical theater friends and my straight friends.
Okay.
And I was in the middle. And there's this thing where it's, like, I love musical theater, but I also like sports. And so, like, whenever I was with either of those groups, I was kind of always defined by what I wasn't doing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, like, I'm with, like, the bros, and they're, like, oh, Gabe's, like, the softy who loves Sondheim. And then I'm with the musical theater kids, and I'm, like, Gabe wears sweatpants. Like, he's not well-dressed. Like, he's not... he's like part of the theater world, but like he's also like has these idiot guys he sees.
Yeah.
And so like this feeling, and I felt this in a lot of different ways at different times in my life, where it's like you're always defined by the thing you're not doing as opposed to the thing that you are doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I talk about this in the show also. It's like this struggle of like wanting those groups to understand you and not feeling like either group kind of fully gets your vibe, right? Like in the show I say it's I'm too straight for the gay kids and too gay for the straight kids. I'm like Spider-Man the musical. Where it's like I don't quite, you know, it's like who is this for?
I feel the same way. I'm that same thing, except somehow you figured out how to like make the friends, it seems like.
Yeah, I mean... I think that's one of the questions that people have when they see the show, because they're like, you seem affable. I feel like we could hang out. Like, we should hang out. And like, yes, I agree with you. But I do – there is some part of me that like doesn't feel totally comfortable kind of like giving my whole self up to somebody in that way, in like a friendship way. And I will say my Nick is like my main guy, and I talk about him in childhood and I talk about him now. And the show kind of starts off with like my mom got sick and the bros didn't know what to do. Nick didn't know what to do. And he sent me a message like trying to fix it. And he's kind of like the heartbeat of the show where it's like, oh, in this moment we had like a miscommunication and he didn't know what to do. And I kind of had a meltdown over it. But since the show, we've gotten a lot closer.
Mm.
I like to think like we're just like more, it's not, if it was 99% and 1% before of terms of serious and not serious conversations, it's maybe closer to like 8% or 9%, you know, like it just like stuff comes up a little bit more frequently. I'm less worried about being like, hey man, this thing's going on in my family. I can kind of just send it and I know that eventually he'll respond and we'll have a talk about it.
But you've always been kind of like emotionally available or aware. You seem emotionally intelligent. It's not something I come across with men terribly often in a general space.
Yeah, I think I'm perhaps more than some people who are like totally, who like don't even know they're feeling things. Like I know I'm feeling things. I think I'm just sometimes hesitant to like put that on other people on like a rainy Tuesday when I need it, you know, like in the last few months, it's been like I go to work Monday, Tuesday. I got the show Thursday, Friday. So I'm in this like weird limbo where I'm like, who am I? Am I a 9-to-5 worker or am I an off-Broadway performer? Like what's going on? I'm depressed. I'm tired. I'm not eating well. Like whatever it is. Like those are the days where I kind of just like need somebody to talk to. And one thing that I've found is I'm trying to call people more.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good for, I think calling somebody and going for a walk are like the two like most like simple, valuable things you can do. And I should take my own advice because sometimes it's rainy and in the winter it's dark at 4:30 and you're just like, I'm going to just sit in my room for 8 hours and like maybe order food and do nothing and be on my phone. And I need to be more proactive about like getting out of that, because if I'm out of that, then I might make a connection with a person. Then I might go to a club. Then I might call somebody. Then I might
hang. I might do this.
Yeah.
I'm working on that in the post-core, because everyone I knew from comedy is like elevated, quit, or moved.
Yes.
Right? So it's like, I wanted to leave this mic on Monday night, but I was like, Billy, just fucking stay. I think the hang might happen.
Yeah. Which social. One? Cobra Club?
No. There's a Monday night at Watering Hole. It's kind of a shit show, but just like I was out in towards the end and it seemed like everyone was friendly. So I was like, let me just hang and try. And I stayed and I had a great time. I connected. I was like, I felt like I made friends. And then again, I have to see, you're just like, I don't want to burden. And I go like, I need to rein it in sometimes.
Okay. So yeah, like, yeah.
Okay. Like if this happens like 3 times in a row with these people, maybe we can like call friends. But for now, let's keep it with this vibe of like, let's all start a mic together.
Yeah. We're going to start a small business.
But that's just me trying to make connections again.
Yeah.
Like there's a guy who did the podcast, like, I'm trying. I was like he left. I was like, oh, I think we're gonna be friends. So, you know, I'm gonna go hang with him tomorrow.
Great.
He's got a show, and then he's like, and then I think we're gonna hang at Fiction Bar. I was like, oh, the word hangs in there. That's, yeah, cool. Gnarly. Then I asked a different guy who's on the podcast. This is real. Again, this is a friend audition, but so I asked another guy who's like, I think we're friendly. He's also like a whore at the party community, and so I'm like, you want to come hang after your shows? I think we're going to Fiction Bar. I'm like, I think this is how I used to do it.
Yeah. You have to
3 years without it. Like I forgot.
Yeah, man. I mean, you seem like almost like in some ways like textbook extrovert, where it's like you get energy from other people. Where I'm like very much in my own head, and like sometimes we'll get out in the world and like, oh, this is good, and now I need to be by myself.
I think I'm doing a lot of mirroring and just of like what I think is needed in the moment. So like I can get up if I need up. And I mean, I think that's why I do like sometimes okay on dates, because I'm just like, I read what you need and I'm not going to try to see if I can. I mean, yeah. I get the words you need, but like I can at least try to tap in emotionally.
Yeah. Well, that's also your pedigree. You went to a high school where therapy could break out at any moment. Like my high school, like that was not the vibe. It was very much like it felt like a traditional, like, big lockers high school. And so, like, nobody's, like, breaking out into circles. I think that's why I started to enjoy the musical theater kids. And they were a couple years older than me, like, that first round. And it was like, oh, these people, like, want to talk about stuff slightly more than, like, the idiot bros.
Yeah.
And that always was very appealing to me. Yeah, nowadays I don't see as many. Like, that's one of the fun things about doing a show off Broadway is that, like, now, like, the theater community comes, and I'm like, I love theater people. This is great. Like, you guys, like, want to go see shows or, like, have seen – you have, like, a frame of reference that's not just stand-up. Because sometimes comics come to the show, and they're very nice, and they're like oh, that was great. Like, they don't think it's stand-up, and it might not be. I don't know what it is. But it's nice to connect with people who have different frames of reference to what you're doing. I really enjoyed reintroducing myself into that world a little bit. Because in stand-up, like – most people don't want to do theater.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, most people are like, I want a headline on the road and work and like have a fan base and podcast. And I'm like, oh, I want to make like a theater show every 3 years. Yeah. You know, it's a little bit different to find those people who like understand that.
How do you connect with men?
That's a great.
I'm just going to take notes.
No. That, you know, I'm always looking for somebody who. That you can kind of like make a side comment about, you know, that like feeling, I describe it as like the Jim from The Office feeling, where like somebody over there is like being a lot and you make eye contact with somebody and you're like, can you believe this? I really value those moments, that like side eye of somebody. I'm like, did we all see that? Like that toast was like crazy, right? Like we can admit that. So I'm always looking for like that kind of moment. That's like a thing that I look for. Yeah, this is such an interesting question.
Because it feels like men are connected, and like as you're thinking about it, it's like I feel like we connect often with each other, or we feel like we're supposed to connect with each other about like shared interests or things outside of ourselves.
Yes.
Right? So it's like, oh, we both like this thing. We both go to that thing. We're both from that place.
Yes.
We both went to that school.
Yeah.
And that's enough to bond over. Whereas like, I mean, I think because women have been like raised in a certain way, they've done studies. They have not found like a reason in the brains of why women have like score higher on EQ tests. So that like, it's probably socialization, right?
Oh, because interesting.
It's not like, oh, men's brains have this. They're like, we
it's
don't
not
have
purely
that.
Chemical.
We just didn't really teach them empathy, right?
Yeah.
And since I have nothing but that, it's like, so I struggle with just like, oh, we're just going to be surface level. It's almost like, I don't know how to chill enough. At some point, I'm going to ask you a deeper question. When you're like, oh, I want to learn. Like, I want to learn about the person, not like their trivia I could get on the back of a playing card.
Yes, that's a thing I think a lot about, because of this idea. I read a friendship textbook. This guy, Dr. Greif, really great. It's called Dr. The Buddy System. And this book talks about different levels of friendships, where there's like one of the detail that made the show is that a lot of male relationships typically, it's gendered, of course, but in general, are shoulder to shoulder. Like we're next to each other. There's another activity. Female friendships typically coffee, wine, someplace dark, look at each other. And they, for them, the activity is each other. And for us, the activity is literally anything else.
It's outside of us.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so that's a place to start. Like, I think Nick, who I've been friends with since fourth grade, like, if, again, whatever the percentages are, a lot of the conversation is Severance or the Knicks or whatever. And that kind of like gets us started. That's like the day-to-day chatter. Mm-hmm. But we see each other face-to-face. There's nobody else around. We've been watching TV for 3 hours. We might stumble upon something else.
Sure.
And it just like takes a little while to get that car going into gear, to get into sixth gear. Where like my sister, she's a year younger than me. She writes for a doctorate. She does comedy, improv, sketch. She's super funny. And she's like, I don't want to do stand-up. I want to do improv because it's social, because it's teamwork. And then she was like, last week, she's like, yeah, I just went on vacation with these six girls. I was like, you know, six girls?
And she probably met like four of them 2 weeks ago.
Yes. You know? And I'm like, I was like, if I go on vacation, like you will be able to guess who's on the vacation with me, you know? Like, it's not like some mystery, right? Where I'm like, how do you know all these people? She's brought more people to the show than like I know, truly. Yeah. And so like, I guess I keep talking about like the symptoms and not like the solution to this, but it's a thing that I feel very deeply, and I think recognizing it is important as like a first step. It's like, oh, all these people, like we play fantasy football together, or like they're comics, and like, oh, somebody's headlining Gotham that we really want to see. Like, let's go sit in the back. Like, yeah, that'll be fun. But that like deeper, more artistic or more personal conversation, I think for me, I need to like ramp up to that, because sometimes I've been, I'm not saying this about you, I have not had this experience with you, but I have been in my life off put by somebody who I meet in 2 seconds and they're like, have you ever been in love? Like, I remember in college, like in college, like I met that person and I was like, get away from me, dude. Like, I don't know you.
I think I will nervously go there. You know, it's, yeah, but it's like, yeah, if we don't have anything else, like if we're talking about the game, can do that. But if there's like too much silence, I'm like, you know, like, how's your relationship with your dad? I don't know. Like, I don't know what to say here.
Yeah. Totally.
Sometimes dates, like, they'll be like, you're podcasting at me. So there's also an element of like accidentally interviewing someone in real life. So
funny. Yeah, of course. No, I mean, that switch is very real.
But being that guy that you described, I have to actively sometimes remember to not do that. Feel like I have an emotional instinct to do it. And I have to know like there's like context and all that. Neurodivergent shit or whatever. And
I gotta, of course. Yeah. But you seem more aware. I think the fact that we're having this conversation and you're aware of your own behavior is a way ahead of a lot of people who just kind of like go through the world and just like smash
and
things.
They enjoy it. Yeah, that's why they're like generally happy and they have dumb smiles on their face walking around at the bar. And I'm just like, they're constantly thinking about like, yeah, but what does this mean about like me and this person after that thing was said?
Yeah, that's so funny. It reminds me of that like that Nick Kroll bit where he's like, the dumbest people are the best at sex because they're just like, duh.
I would disagree. I think when you're emotionally connected, you know now, okay, that's not working. Let's go to plan B or C.
No. Yes. No, I would agree. Believe me, I would agree with you. I'm a quality over quantity person. Because the show also like talks
they're
about-
They're some, not mutually exclusive.
They're not, sorry. Yes, they're not mutually exclusive because you seem to be killing it. You're at like these sex parties. So you know what's funny?
That's also the like, only thing like I know how to like, where I know my value in a circle of men is like if they know that there's the weird thing. I like the Jets. I know this and that. But I know that I have this like thing that like there's a shared experience generally of capital M men of like trying to get laid, right?
Sure.
There's that thing where like so many dudes are so driven, whether it's like they want to get finance so they can make the money so they can get laid, or the guy they want to do this and that so they can go. It's like I feel like that's always the end goal, and I never made it the end goal, and so I somehow accidentally got good at like, I'm not like trying to go fuck people. I just happen to fuck people, right?
Yeah.
And
so,
and I have all these crazy stories and experiences. So I always know like, okay, I need to like show in this group right now that I have value. So I guess I have these slut cards I can slay out. And they're like, what? You did a thing how many gangbangs, right? Like, because like one is enough for most, right? And then like,
yeah.
Wait, you've actually done the threesomes? Those are right. So it's and then I can like, and then I can kind of like wave that out there to be like, hi, I'm interesting. Like, please keep me around. I want to also be invited to the thing. I don't want to be bailed on. Freshman year of college, this is the type of guy I am. Check this out. Okay, I had some buddies in college. I had like my, like, six chicks and a gay guy friend. That was like my main crew. That was my emotional crew, right?
Yeah.
And that was the crew I would hang out with. But I had a few dudes I would hang out with for a couple years. And so I remember one time they were like, we should all go to Warped Tour. I think tickets just went on sale.
Yeah.
And Warped Tour was going to be like three, it was like 3 months out.
Yeah.
So like, oh, so like, yeah, we should do that. Oh, they're playing this plan. Oh, cool, 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 cool. I don't even know the bands. I'm not even a music guy. Yeah. I was excited. Like, I think I've been invited to a thing. So yeah. I went back to my dorm after we were done drinking that night and I bought a ticket to Warped Tour.
Yeah.
When we're like a week or two out from Warped Tour, I hit up the people via text. I was like, yo, so what's the plan for going? They were like, oh, we didn't get tickets or anything. I think we were just talking about it. Like, oh, okay. God. I didn't go. I just let that ticket die.
Oh, man. What a moment. Yeah, that's so emblematic of a lot of things. Oh, that's so hopeful and heartbreaking and funny. That's a bit, man. That's really funny. Oh, it's heartbreaking. And like, I get it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, like, yeah, we're all gonna take selfies and hang out.
But if I talk about sex and dating stuff and like being non-monogamous and all that shit, like, yeah. Man, do they all of a sudden have questions for me, want advice, or they want to hear the stories, or like, wait, which porn star did you do the thing with?
Yeah. Oh, because you're living their fantasies just by like being so...
Not them.
Not them. Yeah. You're not like, believe me, you're not going to Wall Street every day wearing a blue suit, you know, and a vest. And so, yeah, that's so interesting that you offer something that they think money can provide or whatever. And you're like, yeah. And, but you do it this other way. You're like, I'm in a BJ porn. They're suddenly like, that's the coolest thing ever.
Yeah. I can't do Mike's a Tiny Cupboard because like a third of my material, it's all just angry dudes who don't fuck. And so there's just such a energy. You sit through it. Two times ago I was there, they were all talking about like, you guys don't eat pussy and not get ahead, right? It's like, anybody? And I was like, I mean, sometimes. And they're like, what? You're this. And then I go on stage loosely used. And then like, I go up and then I'm like lambasting them for like, this is why you are not getting your dick sucked. And so there's this tension where I'm like, they're like resenting me for any joke I do.
Yeah, because you're coming at it from a perspective of like, I'm just being myself, really open, and I'm having way more sex that you're complaining about not getting.
Right.
You're the antidote to like incel Reddit. They should have replaced that page with this podcast.
They would just fucking listen.
I know.
But they always like, what do you have in mind? I was like, you could treat them like people. They're like, do you have anything else?
Yeah.
I'm like, fuck if I know. What do you think your value is in like a group of dudes?
What is my value in a group of dudes? I think so. Okay. So when I was in high school, this is a long-winded answer. When I was in high school, at one point in like seventh grade, they were like, you can jump ahead in math and science. And so like, I wasn't a great student, but I was like, I want to do that. I want the challenge. And it kind of screwed me later in high school because I was a year ahead in math and science, but I was not in the honors version of those classes. So I was in the regular version. So I was just with the year above me dumb kids, right? And for them, I was a genius, but I was also quiet. It wasn't my social circle. There was probably like, in a class of 30, there was five of us, ninth graders in 10th grade biology, right? Mm. And so in that context of that classroom, they were like, Gabe's quiet. He doesn't say anything. He like hangs out with the other like ninth graders, whatever. And then like the next period, I go to like honor social studies, which like a place I like to be. And I was cracking jokes.
Honor social studies is your year, but
my year, but honors. Yeah. So this is, and in that class, I'm like feeling like hot shit. I'm like, I'm riffing. I made a joke so bad one time. So I guess so good one time that the professor, the teacher ended class.
Stop.
Yeah, he, so, okay.
Because he's laughing?
Because he was laughing and was like, well, I can't teach after that. He was talking about one time he
What'd
had
a kid.
What'd
you say about
9-11? So this was a story. He had a kid in the class. I will get back to your question.
Sure.
He had
about 9-11? Good.
Okay. There was a kid in the class. He was talking about like the craziest like students he ever taught. And he was like, yeah, we had this one kid like start masturbating in the back of the classroom. And like the room goes silent because we were like, that's an overshare. Like you should not be sharing that. And I go, Dr. Quigley, did you get hit? And he just goes, class is over, everybody leave. And I was so proud of it, you know? And I was like, and like, it was one of those moments where it's like, I'm the king of this classroom. Like, I just got class to end. And So it's so funny that those classes were like back-to-back periods. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like in one period I'm this and in one period I'm that. So it's like, what is my value in a group of men? Like, God, it depends. You know, like if I'm with like my bros from Long Island, we have a buddy who owns a house out east and, you know, he works on Long Island and he has a wife. And compared to me, I got two roommates. I'm in Astoria. I do comedy. Like, we live very different lives. And so in that group, like, I'm like the kooky wild card a little bit, where it's like lawyer, computer engineer, high school social studies teacher with a wife and a house. Like, in that group, like, I'm this like kooky guy, but you get me in a room of all comics, they're like, Gabe's kind of straight laced. He does theater comedy, you know, like, I'm very different. So that question is so interesting because it's so context dependent. Mm. I used to think that was kind of like, oh, like who am I really? And now I think I'm more okay with that.
But being a chameleon can be kind of a skill set. I mean, it's like, evolutionary biology, it's probably like a fucking survival mechanism gene you got. Totally. It's like, I can go to each different tribe and not get killed.
Yeah. I can kind of survive anywhere. And I think that comes from like the straight dude sports culture and like the musical theater world. Like when I learned about, in 2009, when we all learned about code switching, I was like, oh, I get that. Like, maybe not racially in the same way, but like, I understand what it feels like to almost feel different.
Yeah.
You know? I'm more okay with it now than I used to be. I used to kind of be like, I'm phony. And now I'm just like, no, like, I just,
Parts of you activate. Yeah, where needed.
Totally. Like, if we're going to have like a cool sex positive conversation, I'm like, oh, cool. Like, that's not the conversation. Like, my childhood priest came to the show the other night. And I was like, well, I did tell that story about eating pussy, like in the library in college. Like, we're not going to talk about that.
Lazy, hear that? He eats pussy. Unlike those weird dudes at that open mic I went to.
Yeah, dude. You should. Yeah. You should.
Put him on the list. So, in my Discord server, the Champagne Room, we have a Patreon channel called Ask the Guest. Any of you who chip your dollars in, you can ask any of my guests any questions you want. If it's a bad question, not mine. If it's a good question, wish it was. So, I got a couple questions for you. Besides the third one, the most recent one was from Chucky. He was like, "How do you expect to get friends if you're such a flake?" Folks, Gabe, he had to push off. Am I allowed to say this?
I'll give details. Yes, I will say I had a friend that was going through something and I needed to show up for him. And yeah. I was like, Billy, this is so funny. Why I can't come? And you were like, that is okay.
I was like, yeah. It was like the day of the recording. He's like, I'm so sorry. I'm just like, dude, that's the best reason.
Yes.
Because being a good friend.
I'm trying to. And also, I don't know if Chucky knows that I came from Astoria, which is basically like going to the moon.
Oh, yeah. He texted me. He was like, yeah. I was like, he's on the train. I was like, you come from Queens? And he's like, yeah. I was like, is that maybe why you don't have a lot of friends? Like, that's, I feel like there's a lot of dating that I don't do because it's like, you know what? Let's call each other when one of us moves.
It's a long distance relationship. Yeah. Yes.
Totally. But one of the questions, different one from Chuck, is have you noticed a difference between trying to make friends, male friends versus women friends?
Yeah, I have. The show, and what I've been thinking about a lot more recently, is trying to like expand on the friends that I do have. Mm-hmm. I kind of talk about meeting new people a little bit, and it's not, I'm not great at it almost in the same way that I'm not like like trying to have a lot of sex all the time. I'm also like not trying to meet a lot of people all the time. And so I'm more willing, if I'm at a party, I feel like I'm much more likely to like chat up a woman and like have a more immediate, empathetic, kind of jokey conversation than I am with a lot of dudes. I don't know why that is. Mm-hmm. I think maybe some of the stuff we've talked about, like the socialization aspect of it. In terms of, could you repeat the question? It was about male and female friends.
Have you noticed the difference between trying to make friendships with men versus friendships with women?
Yeah, I think that this has happened a lot. Women have come up to me and I'm like, oh my God, you would be such good friends with my brother, husband, boyfriend. But those are not the people coming up to me like wanting to hang out.
Right.
But that has happened after the show too. Have you gotten laid after the show? Yes. Have you made friends after the show? Yes. I went out for coffee with this guy after a show and it was so fun. Like, I learned a lot about like his line of work and stuff like that. I think men are sometimes a little bit more hesitant to like reach out.
100%.
And
I know
so,
I am.
Yeah, no, it, I mean, it's hard and I get it. And I think like the barrier to entry is a little bit higher, but once you get there, it's a lot more comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're feeling that, like, it's almost in the same way, like get rejected, like yeah. asking somebody on a date. It just doesn't, the stakes don't feel as high. I think we're socialized to be like, you might ask someone out and they might say no, and you have to deal with that. But with friendship, like, it's kind of the same thing. And you have to be okay with it.
I'm not, man. I'm yeah, like, I'd way hard. Rather get rejected by a chick who doesn't want to fuck me than a guy who like doesn't want to hang with me.
Oh my God, Philly, that's heartbreaking.
And I know how many men they hang with, and I'm just like, but like I, okay. Did I tell you about the orgy? No, oh, I did? Okay, still?
And you still don't want to?
Okay, okay. I'll go find another thing to offer here.
Yeah, I mean,
I know
so
a lot
much
of Jets stats. No, don't. Oh, you're a Giants guy. Okay, that's fine.
I feel like you have so much to offer besides the sex stuff, but I understand that feeling of like, this is how people view me. This is like what I can bring to the table.
I mean, I did attach my name to the word man whore on Google for like the rest of my life. So I like, it's not like out of nowhere.
Yes. You. It's been branded. Yeah, that's good. No, I mean, I totally get that.
But you have a lot of chick friends then.
Yeah, I have a fair amount of female friends. I don't cultivate those relationships as much. There's no women, I don't think, that I text every day, where there's probably like two or three guys and a group text that okay. I text every day.
I get these group texts. I keep hearing about
them. You know what it is? Ours is a basketball group. And it's just like the Knicks are getting ready for the playoffs, so there's stuff to text about.
Okay.
And I will say this. I think like the female friends in my life, like when I see them, it really we can have more adult conversations more quickly.
Yeah.
Women from college, I'm like, how's your life? Like, what's going on? Like, and so I think when I have a little bit more free time in the summer of Gabe, I think that's maybe another part of it, which is just like reconnect with some people. You know, you did a show about friendship, like put your money where your mouth is, like call somebody. I love driving. I love a long drive alone where you're just like, hey, this is a big pro tip. I'm going for a 4-hour drive. You text like five people. You're like, hey, I'm going for a 4-hour drive right now. If you're free for a phone call, I'm free for the next 5 hours. And like maybe one or two people call you, but it's great.
I'm going to steal that for sure.
That's such a good one. That's one of my favorites. You know what's nice about the drive thing is that you're like, hey, bro, like I got a 12-hour drive. Like I'm not weak. I just need something to do, you know?
And now like, they're serving a purpose, but I'm like, we're going to trick each other into connecting.
Yes,
this.
It's a real trick each other into connecting thing. That's a totally valid thing. And like I think I learned this on TikTok, where they're like, if you want somebody to like you, ask them to do you a small favor, where it's right. Like, do me this small favor, and then like something will happen to them, where they're like, oh, I like that guy, I helped him out once. Like, there's something about it that like works, I don't know why. And so I'm like, oh, if you ask somebody to, hey, do me a favor, call me in the next 12 hours, like I'm driving, like, I think that's a good technique.
The other question we got was from PJ, and you just gave a great one, but he said, do you have any tips for making friends? Poor PJ. Do you have any tips for making friends or like possibly like embarrassing pitfalls to avoid? Such as opening with like, hey, have you ever been in love?
Yeah. The too intense too quickly. Like I feel that for sure. I would say I've been telling people this when they ask me this question, which is that like I wish I were, but like I'm not like a friendship influencer. Like, you know, like I don't
but
have
you
a-
understand like by doing this show, that's what you
totally
like you're gonna have
totally.
Like if the show gets enough no right, like writers will hit you up for that. That and then all of a sudden you are that.
Totally. I feel more like I'm a and this sounds like I'm an artist who just like observed a thing about my life and I'm trying to comment on it, but I don't necessarily know the solutions for other people other than I think for me, this kind of journey has been about like fortifying the relationships I do have, because I'm not somebody who's like, join a bowling league, like play Catan online. Like I'm not that
guy.
It's great. Klaus Teuber just passed away, an OG. So like I have a lot of empathy for that, but I'm not that social person.
Yeah.
And so for me, it's like I have these people in my life and like they're there. We'll play Fortnite. Like we talk to each other. Like we're not strangers, but like how do we level up? And so for me, it's like there are people in your life you talk to. There must be, PJ, I hope. And if you have those people, try to dedicate a little bit more time or like slip in something more personal or like see if they'll catch you if you bring up a diagnosis or a family thing or whatever. And like sometimes they'll fall flat and then you at least know the tier that they're at.
Yeah.
You're not like in this limbo. It's like, oh, I don't feel comfortable talking about that. Where it's more like, I tried. They weren't really into it. I told them that they failed and they're just like, that's not who I am. Okay. Now I can put them officially in that basket.
Yeah. If you hit on somebody and like, ideally you're not just hitting on them as a goal to be fucked, but rather like you're saying, maybe they'll be interested. You give a shit about that response. Yeah. So you throw it out there and you just feel it out. Maybe they're like, oh yeah, hey. Or maybe like, oh, hi, friendly, hey. Or sometimes like, yeah, hey. And then they go look the other way. Like when they go to look the other way, you just go talk to somebody else.
Yes. Yes. They're at this level.
Yeah.
We are socially friendly and we have sex every once in a while. I think the hooking up analogy is really good because it's like, oh, with hooking up, we get it. You could be in a monogamous marriage. You could be in a this thing. Like there are tiers that we understand. With friends, I think we have to be more comfortable being like, at the beginning of the show, Nick is somebody that like we don't have any serious conversations. And by the end, he's somebody that like did show up for me when I needed him and needed a little direction. And I needed to just tell him, hey, man, when this happens in my life, this is how you can respond. And he was like, oh, of course.
Are you using like those? And this sounds dumb, but like are you using kind of like that language? Like is that like what you're saying? Or like how do you
in the show, the moment was Nick texts me about my mom. She got sick and she's okay now, but she got sick and I was like, hey, it might be a bulging disc that's causing everything to go wrong. And Nick sent me a long text about bulging discs from his perspective, which is that of an injury attorney. He was like explaining to me like the shit.
Yeah.
Like basically how to get money for her illness.
Right.
And I was like, man, like that is not what I need from you. Like I need you to be like, how are you feeling? What's going on? What do you think is going to happen? Like what are, that type of thing. And I was just like, Nick, like, that's not what I need from you. I need you to ask me if I'm okay. Like, what are you doing?
You say something like that.
Yes. And Nick was
like, that's so vulnerable for me to like, I can say that to a woman, which is probably like, whatever. But like, for some of it, to just a dude.
You know why?
I'd be like, that's terrifying to me.
Because my mom was sick, it turned up to 11.
Yeah.
And I was so, like, I was like, oh, my relationship with Nick, I'm not worried about this right now. I'm worried about my fucking mom. Like, who cares about any of this? So I was just like, I was so distracted that I didn't mind doing that where normally I might not. But I was just like, dude, what I need from you is this. And he was like, oh, I'm an idiot. Like, of course. Like, duh. Like, that's the other thing. Men need like a little bit of guidance.
Yeah.
Like, just like tell us what we have to do.
Yeah.
I think that's like a classic like thing I learned from my dad where he's just like, oh, I need to pick you up from the train. Great. I have an instruction. I can check it off
the list.
Don't
allude to you need to be. Just say, yes. Can you pick me up from the train?
Yes. And of course, the classic like straight hetero couple fight is like, I don't want you to
do the dishes.
Yes, I want you to want to do the dishes.
It's like, you know what? I'm probably not going to want to.
Yes.
But I want to do something for you.
Yes.
If that's what it is, just tell me and I will do it.
Yes. And like, I can't read your mind. And like men, and because I'm not in a marriage with men, I don't feel that obligation to be like, I want, like Nick, I want you to want to help me in this moment. I'm like, no, dude, like this is what you need to do. Just fucking do it.
But now do you still need to get to 11 to ask for something like that? Or now are you more comfortable saying something explicitly like, hey, actually I need this in this moment. Now that you know that like it, you got like a positive feedback loop from that. He's like, oh shit, you're right. Of course. And now I did it. Now like, does it not need to be as intense for you to be like,
yeah,
I can ask
you know
for
what
I need. And
sometimes
it's
harder when the stakes are lower.
Right.
When it's like, when, hey, I'm looking for advice about this Booker email, and they start talking to you about like, oh, the industry's fucked, whatever. Like, that might be harder for me to be like, dude, what I need from you is to just be like, hey, this is cool, this is not cool.
Yeah.
But I think maybe there's a way to phrase it where it doesn't sound so confrontational, where you're just like, oh, man, like, I was just looking for advice about the Booker. Like, not about like, live comedy's dead, reels, Instagram. Like, I don't want to have that conversation. I just need you, what do you think about this Booker email?
Sure.
Staying on, it's like men are stupid. Just like stay on task, tell them what you need. And like, there's something about like, oh, I can do that. That's easy.
And it's funny because like I told you last night, I had that spiral and I texted like a few comments, but like there's a 1:23 a.m. message. I text a lady comic friend of mine that I'm like kind of close with and she'll hit me up for like guy advice. Like, oh, like what about this guy? What do you think? Okay, I can hit her up. And then I think I texted like another buddy of mine. We've gone some walks. But usually it's because I go to like pick like a speaker up from him, and he'd be like, "You want to go walk first?" And like we'll walk for like 40 minutes and talk about. Oh, okay, cool. I'll go. You can walk. Can I free? And then I have a comic who's now in LA that I've known for a long time. So it's like, hey man, who do you complain about comedy, politics, and career gripes with? Comics, civilians, therapists. Sometimes it feels like I shouldn't show career weakness in public to comics, like I'm doing right now by reading this outline on a podcast. But talking with partners about it, it's like they don't know much about it. And then I haven't read all this, but like it looks like a sincere, thoughtful response of like, I have a small group of comics who are blah, blah, blah. But I also have some... So, like, I asked for what I needed, and it looks like I think I might got something there.
No, that's really good. I that's a really thought, because I've been doing this thing, too, where it's like, the show's been running so long, people are really, people hit me up. I've taken 25 phone calls in the last 2 months of people being like, how do I get to where you're at? So it's like a very few list of people where I can be like, man, it's not going well. Like, I need to, like, vent about, like, whatever. Sure. And so, like, that's a real thing, because I don't want to walk into spaces like... People are like, congrats. And I'm like, it sucks. My life is awful. Because it's not.
We only had this many people show up. Because like, yes. You need to project in this biz success. Yes. Even when it's not really that successful. Let people think this podcast is bigger than it is.
This is a huge podcast. Billy's a millionaire.
I don't say it, but like, I'll let you think that if you insist.
Sure. My dad went to law school when I was in high school. And he took out a huge loan, went to law school. And the first thing he did when he graduated was he got a Mercedes. Because he's like, I'm a lawyer.
Yeah.
What am I going to show up in a used car? Like, I need people to be like, that guy's got his shit together. And it works. Yeah. I've been with him when he pulled up to meetings with really fancy people. And they're like, where are you? He's like, black Mercedes. And they're like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Some dude from TikTok shows up, be like, hey, what do you do for a living? That guy, he just shows up out of nowhere.
Podcast.
Also, why is it 70% of the answers is OnlyFans?
Yes.
70% of the time, it's just a hot lady. She's like, I'm an accountant, so to speak.
I balance the books.
Gabe, this was great. Thank you so much for coming on. I hope I did not come on too strong, too quick.
You were great. We can be friends.
Have you ever been in love? No. Okay. No. where could be? Now, the show is still running. Hold on. Let me just take a look at the date. So the show, what's the end date of the show?
Right now, it's the 15th.
Okay. But like you might be doing
it. We might be doing more, and we're going to take it to major cities.
Okay. So... If I said like you're touring, if I like
yeah, said, touring, part, yeah, so, yeah, okay, yeah, yeah, okay. And we might keep going to New York. So just like cool. Check my Instagram.
Cool. But so you're about to be touring the show. You just finished a great run in New York. You might be doing some more shows in New York.
Yeah.
You know, where can people go find you, follow you, and hopefully see what's the name of the show?
So it's called Solo, a show about friendship. And it's at the Soho Playhouse, and we might keep going, and we're definitely going to take it. I think we're going to take it to City Winery locations. Mm. We're in talks right now with different cities. A non-City Winery in DC, and then like Boston, Philly, Pittsburgh, a couple others, just to like see what that's like, take it on the road.
Yeah. And where can they go to find out more, to follow you?
My Instagram is the only one that I kind of understand. and I have that non-paid Instagram blue check, even though I don't have a lot of followers. So find
nice,
me there.
Nice. I'm about to lose my non-paid Twitter check any day now.
Yeah. I'm just TikTok.
Nobody again.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah.
and what was the handle?
It's just Gabe, at Gabe Malika.
Fantastic. That's with two L's.
Two L's.
All right. Well, Gabe, this was great. Good luck getting back to Queens. If you ever move, let's be friends.
Yes, I might go to Cuts and Slices, honestly. Get a slice of pizza.
And, why don't you go ahead and say goodbye to everybody.
Everybody, thank you for listening. Subscribe to his Patreon. This is a really fun pod. I listened to some in prep for this. And it's just got a good thing going, man. Keep it going.
If you hang tight, I got a little teaser, got a little bit more content coming to you at the end of this little thing over here. Me and Gabe Malika, we got a Patreon bonus episode. I mean, it's more like I've got a bonus episode coming, but he's on it. I clipped out a chunk of our conversation about Gabe's dating life. I am sure plenty of you were way curious about, okay, but like, what's it like to date this dude, right? He seems like such a nice boy. Is he dating? Is he fucking? What's going on? If you want to hear about the summer of Gabe, stay tuned for a tease. Join the Patreon if you want to hear the full thing. Comes out tomorrow. It'll join nearly 300 other bonus episodes. And I am still running through the end of this month a free trial at the $5 tier. That gets you access to all the bonus shows, gets you access to behind-the-scenes content, access to hot movie nights, our patron-only channels in the Champagne Room. One more time, give it a try, even for free, at patreon.com/manwhorepodcast, or download the Patreon app and find me on there. Sunday is April 16th, and the diest of hardest of whoreheads know that that is... That's my 9-year podiversary, everybody. 9 years every Wednesday. I believe I'm gonna be dropping a little extra something in everybody's feeds. I'm not gonna make it a Patreon only thing. I think I'm gonna drop everything in your feeds on that day. It's a little extra something, particularly for the book lovers. As usual, everybody, the links to all the things you could possibly need are in the show notes. Go click some stuff, tap some stuff, follow some things, leave 5 stars if you can. On Spotify or Apple Podcasts or a review. And I'll repeat the call I asked for last week. You know, if you want to help the show and you don't have any money to give, here's what you can do. You can share the show on Maine. I know it sounds scary. I promise no one's going to fire you. I promise, for sharing a podcast. Because as you heard, sometimes we just talk about, hi, I'm lonely and I want to make friends. But if that's a little too public for you, you can text the link to the Manwhore Podcast, right? Hit that little share button on your podcast app of choice and send it to 10 people directly. Say, hey, this is a great podcast. I think you'd like it. Here's the link. Make it easy. They can just tap that and get going. And even if that's a little too revealing for you, how about, you know what? I don't know if anyone here knows this. I am a stand-up comedian. I do put out content and jokes that have nothing to do with orgies. So, you know, go retweet something. Go share one of my Instagram posts in your story. Something that made you giggle, something that made you sweat, something that made you think. Be a friend to someone today. You know what? Cancel if you need to cancel on a thing. That doesn't apply just to dating, okay? That also applies to, like, making plans with a prospective buddy. And thank everybody for tuning in, week out. Love you all so much. Hope you all get laid this weekend. Let's all do our baby bit of a part to stay slutty. But, like, only if you wanna. It's okay if you're not slutty. It's fine. I just want you to be happy and to be yourself, and I want you to feel fulfilled. But sometimes being fulfilled means being filled, because you wanna be slutty. Stay it.
Yeah, yeah, I'm thinking of one particular instance where she went off with a friend and came back and was like, we're moving. And I was like, that's so fun. Like, we were gone for 20 minutes. Like, what happened? So, like, I need, like, the 31-year-old version of that, where it's like, I have this day job and I'm piecing together an income and I have this show and I'm trying to take it on the road. Like, it's more like, I know who I am a lot better than I did when I was 27.
Who were you when you were 27? Or, sorry, were you the same guy and you just didn't know? Or you think it's a different thing?
I think... who I was, there was also this part of, like, when I met her, I was volunteering at camp and she was working at camp, and, like, she was a lot younger than I thought she was. Like, I thought she was 25, and then she was like, yeah, I'm about to turn 21. And I was like, that's a disaster. It. Like, that's so bad. And I remember, like, she was like, I remember her being, like, shook that my reaction to her being so young. Cause I was like, I'm an adult. Like, I can't be doing, like, what are we doing? But, like, there was just, like, this crazy connection. We was on and off for 2 years, and, like, she, like, went to visit me in Scotland when I was doing the Fringe Festival. Like, there was this, like, real, like, thing going on. And eventually when we broke up, it was like, okay, now you're, like, solidly in your early 20s. You graduated from college. Like, you're a person. Like, you need those, like, you need those years. Those are super valuable. So, like, I got it. Like, in terms of, like, that transition where it's like, I'm fascinated by, like, 22 through 27. I'm like, those are fascinating years.